"Thanks," says Bull Jack. "I'm as good a helmsman as ever put hand to a spoke, but none of us can steer the old lady now. We can't keep her full and by, sir. Watch her ever so close. She will fall off. And then, sir, when I put the helm down so gently, and try like to coax her to the work, she won't take it kindly, but will fall round off again. And it's all because she knows the land is under the lee, sir, and she won't go any more to windward." "Aye, and why should she, Jack? Didn't every one of her stout timbers grow on shore, and hasn't she sensibilities as well as we? Poor old ship! Her very looks denote her desires. How deplorable she appears! The paint on her sides, burnt up by the scorching sun, is puffed out and cracked. See the weeds she trails along with her. And what an unsightly bunch of these horrid barnacles has formed about her sternpiece. And every time she rises on a sea, she shows her copper torn away or hanging in jagged strips. Poor old ship! I say again, for 6 months she has been rolling and pitching about, never for one moment at rest. But courage, old lass! I hope to see thee soon within a biscuit's toss of the merry land, riding snugly at anchor in some green cove and sheltered from the boisterous winds." "Hurrah, my lads! It's a settled thing. Next week we shape our course to the Marquesas. The Marquesas! What strange visions of outlandish things does the very name spirit up! Naked hurries, cannibal banquets, groves of coconut, coral reefs, tattooed chiefs, and bamboo temples, sunny valleys planted with breadfruit trees, carved canoes dancing on the flashing blue waters, savage woodlands guarded by horrible idols, heathenish rites and human sacrifices. Such were the strangely jumbled anticipations that haunted me during our passage from the cruising ground. I felt an irresistible curiosity to see those islands which the olden voyages had so glowingly described. The group for which we were now steering, although among the earliest of European discoveries in the South Seas, having been first visited in the year 1595, still continues to be tenanted by beings as strange and barbarous as ever. The missionaries, sent on a heavenly errand, had sailed by their lovely shores and had abandoned them to their idols of wood and stone. How interesting the circumstances under which they were discovered! In the watery path of Mandana, cruising in quest of some region of gold, these isles had sprung up like a scene of enchantment, and for a moment the Spaniard believed his bright dream was realized. In honor of the Marquis de Mendoza, then Viceroy of Peru, under whose auspices the navigator sailed, he bestowed upon them the name which denoted the rank of his patron, and gave to the world on his return a vague and magnificent account of their beauty. But these islands, undisturbed for years, relapsed into their previous obscurity, and it is only recently that anything has been known concerning them. Once, in the course of a half-century, to be sure, some adventurous rover would break in upon their peaceful repose, and, astonished at the unusual scene, would be almost tempted to claim the merit of a new discovery. Of this interesting group, but little account has ever been given, if we accept the slight mention made of them in the sketches of South Sea voyages. Cook, in his repeated circumnavigations of the globe, barely touched at their shores, and all that we know about them is from a few general narratives. Among these, there are two that claim particular notice. Porter's Journal of the Cruise of the U.S. frigate Essex in the Pacific during the late war is said to contain some interesting particulars concerning the islanders. This is a work, however, which I have never happened to meet with, and Stewart, the chaplain of the American sloop of war, Vincennes, has likewise devoted a portion of his book, entitled A Visit to the South Seas, to the same subject. Within the last few years, American and English vessels engaged in the extensive whale fishery